Proverbs chapter 18, and then we're going to go do some Psalms for a little while. My background was an active duty Army chaplain for 14 years. Before that, I was an enlisted individual. And in 2008, I was diagnosed with a thing called aortic stenosis. I had my aortic valve in my heart was closing down. So they took me off to the hospital, and they did some surgery on me. In my recuperation, in my recovery, they placed me into a wounded warrior unit, Fort Carson, Colorado. And that's where I found out what they are doing and what they're failing to do with our soldiers. Now, the medical corps, they've got a good thing going there. They do very well. For what they do, it's an amazing thing. And over the last 10 years, while there's been so much of this war going on and so many coming back with injuries, technology has been amazing, been incredible. Years ago, you died of an infection. Now they stop bleeding, prevent shock, do all these wonderful, incredible things, and they keep the guy alive and get him back and rehab him. And it's an amazing thing. But there's been one thing lacking. And I found out in the book of Proverbs, chapter 18, verse 14, there was a verse here that just really grabbed me when I saw this. I'm looking for a verse that's really going to explain and I think really show what happens with someone who's wounded in their spirit. And it says, the spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity. You say the man has a spirit to live. Guy has a sensation. He knows that God's got something special for him. And he's got a purpose in life and he wants to hang on. And many are like that. But the spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity, but a wounded spirit who can bear? A wounded spirit. And that really grabbed me. So I made my ministry, Wounded Spirits. A ministry to the wounded warriors with wounded spirits. And when I got to this wounded warrior unit, Fort Carson, I was placed in the place, okay, you're going to heal. That's what you're going to do here. You had your surgery, now it's time to just heal. And a company commander came to me. My company commander, captain, comes to me and says, Chaplain, we don't have a chaplain on our staff. Could you do some? I mean, I know you're healing and everything. You're kind of recovering. But as you're able to, could you maybe talk to the guys, counseling, Bible studies, you know, as you can? I'll give you an office. Boy, you know, that's the key right there. You got to have an office. Got to have an office. But when I had that opportunity, God opened some incredible doors. And I was going through studying material about how to recover from the wounds and how to get God focused more upon the healing process. Because God heals. And a lot of these guys have already recognized that and knew that. And some of them were really questioning because, quite frankly, some of them, no kidding, were writing a system. A lot of them would have their problem and they would see the guys are going to help them, the social worker, the doctor, whoever it was, and they started getting better. And they looked around and said, man, I'm being treated like this, it's great, and I'm getting this stuff, and it's fine, and all these things are happening to me, and I don't think I want to go back to regular duty. So when their time was coming up and they go to the medical board, they say, what else can I find wrong with me? And some of them would do it. And some of them were writing the system. I had a VA representative tell me that one time. Said, well, yeah, some are legitimate, and some of them are not. Pray for them. But to find those who are legitimately needing help, and that's about all of them, there was a statistic that came out from the war. They said 85% of those who had been deployed had PTSD. But they had never seen, well, they had never been shot at, or shot anyone. Not actually seen combat. Went over there maybe in a support role of some kind. But they came back claiming PTSD. How could that be? 85%? That's an awful high number. And we find out also, over the years, they've called it shell shock. They've called it combat fatigue. They called it Vietnam Veteran Syndrome. All kinds of different things over the years. And now they're calling it post-traumatic stress, which is an interesting term because now they're not just saying it's combat or it's military, it's anyone. And ladies and gentlemen, life is stressful. Amen? Oh, I can get better than that. Life is stressful. It's stressful being up here right now talking to you. There's a level of stress. He says, if you're not experiencing any stress, you're dead. That's one guy told me that. Yeah, okay, I understand it. But what happens when these guys come back from war? They have so many questions that came from their military experience, and it brought on stress. They said, why did my buddy die? There was survivor guilt. I made it home and my buddy didn't make it. Was it something I did wrong? The guys come back and say, we are trained. We are trained to learn how to use our equipment, rely on our buddy, rely on our training. We get out there, we do our job, we make sure everybody gets back. We do the best we can to get everybody back. Hey, Sarge, why are these guys out here wrapping themselves up in bombs and blowing themselves up with everybody else? Intentionally. It's their plan. We don't get it. We don't understand that. And then you have to kind of try to explain to them, going off into the non-politically correct direction about Islam and what they believe. And for a lot of guys, we're not supposed to go there. You can't talk like that. Although it's obvious and rather evident what they're up to. But I worked with these PTSD warriors. The doctors had the answers for a lot of things. But the drugs and the things they do in their humanism psychology is not helping these guys. In 2012, 349 suicides were committed in the active duty across the military. 349. That's a record number. When these guys come back and they decide they're going to get out of the service, VA expects to pick them up. Said, yeah, they're going to sign up with VA, right? Well, many of them don't. And a guy says, where's everybody? They're getting out and they're not here. Guy went out and surveyed it. He come back and said, well, we know one thing. 22 per day are killing themselves. 22 a day? Something's wrong. When I got back and recovered from my surgery and such, and I was moved on to another unit to go to, and finally, where circumstances just showed themselves so evident that I was to retire 2 years ago out of Fort Meade, Maryland, God laid upon me a burden for this sort of ministry. I saw this thing and said, it wouldn't leave my gut, it wouldn't leave my soul. I was vexed with this. So my ministry is to the wounded warriors that have spiritual wounds. And what we do, we write pamphlets, we write tracts, we write these materials that specifically talk about the issues that these guys are having. Things like fear, anxiety, feelings of no purpose, inability to focus, paranoia, guilt, suicide thoughts, sleeplessness, addictions, nightmares, isolation, these kind of things. And it's interesting with what happens with these guys with the isolation. You ever see a warrior, a wounded guy, somebody been experienced war, go to a 4th of July fireworks display? You probably won't see him. That's simulated war. Boom, boom, bang, bang, flash, flash. I don't want that. I've been there. I felt that stuff. I don't need that again. And all that stuff comes back to them, the flashback. They feel it again, and they don't need it. They try to do these ceremonies for honoring him or her or the other person for whatever has happened. And a lot of times it's, oh, I'm not going. Isolation, they just don't want to be there. They don't want to be a part of it. Troops come home to divorce situations, you saw on the DVD. A lot of broken up homes. A lot of broken up homes in our civilian life. A lot of divorces, a lot of dads missing. My dad was gone when I was 14. By the age of 10, he was gone. And I really started feeling it then. And what we have is a lot of PTSD fellows going in, joining the service, looking for family. Not family members, but making a new one, making a new family, because they don't have one at home, whatever home was. So guys are coming in a lot of times with the PTSD problem. They already have it. I came across this one person in Colorado Springs. I was ordering pizza at a Pizza Hut, and they were at the counter. I was ordering a pizza, and they start telling me about their Navy basic training experience. They couldn't get through basic. Drill sergeant yelling at them. Couldn't handle it. Oh, put up my yellow card. No more. Stress card. I can't handle this. That's where they're at, a lot of them. And it's a terrible thing. But here in Proverbs, we come down here to chapter 17 and verse 22. It's interesting how the medical term thing is, it says, a merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit dries the bones. Wow, what a picture. In my remaining few minutes here, I want to go through a couple of verses here and go to Psalm 102. Read a couple of verses. We'll go to one other psalm and I'll be done. Psalm 102 is interesting here. It's a prayer of the afflicted when he is overwhelmed and poureth out his complaint before the Lord. That's what it's that's what subtitle here in my Bible. And it says in verse 1, hear my prayer, O Lord, Psalm 102, and let my cry come unto thee. Hide not thy face from me in the day when I am in trouble. Incline thine ear unto me in the day when I call. Answer me speedily. I need help now, he's saying. I need help right now. I can't wait another second. Help me, Lord. And then he goes through a whole list of things, and it just, this is so PTSD. For my days are consumed like smoke, and my bones are burned as a hearth. My heart is smitten and withered like grass, so that I forget to eat my bread. Man's losing his appetite. That's one of the symptoms, loss of appetite. By reason of the voice of my groaning, my bones cleave to my skin. He's losing weight. I'm like a pelican in the wilderness. I'm like an owl of the desert. I looked at that pelican of the wilderness. It's about this feeling of remorse. Feeling of, oh, I'm so sorry I ever did that. I feel so horrible, so bad. I want to just isolate and get away from everything. Guy wants to be a recluse. I watch, verse 7. I watch and am sparrow alone upon the housetop. Mine enemies reproach me all the day, and they that are mad against me are sworn against me. That's paranoia. I've eaten ashes like bread and mingled my drink with weeping because of thine indignation and thy wrath, for thou hast lifted me up and cast me down. This guy has emotional ups and downs. You throw me up and cast me down, like being on waves in the ocean. Waves pick you up, and then they throw you down. And that's why the guy's going through emotions. And some of the stuff is coming because of the drugs they're taking. These guys are going to the doctor, I got this problem. They'll get out their great big book called the Diagnostic Statistical Manual. Oops, I'm sorry. Drop it down on the desk and start flipping through it. You got what? Okay, that's this drug. What else you got? I got this. You need that drug. And every answer is a drug. Drug, 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 drug. So tell me how it's going and see me in a couple weeks. A couple weeks later, he comes back. Well, I'm having this side effect and that side effect, and this is happening and this is happening. Oh, really? Back to his book. You need that drug. You need that drug. These guys are walking out with 20 drugs to take in a day. And what we want to do is safely, carefully, with doctor's care, they put them on them, you get them off. Get me off these drugs. I encourage them to tell them, Doc, get me off these drugs. I don't need this much stuff. Just give me the minimum. Sometimes these guys will come off the drugs in the wrong way, and they become a suicide victim because they start seeing things and feeling things and hearing things, and it drives them crazy. But one thing I really want to point out before I leave Psalm 102 is the Lord is with this individual. Even though he's got these difficulties and got these problems, look what it says in verse 12. But thou, O Lord, shall endure forever, and thy remembrance unto all generations, thou shalt arise and have mercy upon Zion. This person is a believer with these problems and going to God with them. Going to God with them. We saw in the proverb, this is medicine, a merry heart. Who gives merry hearts? Not the doctor. That's not a prescription drug. Not even over the counter. Merry heart comes from God. That's what these people need. That's what these soldiers need. I turn to Psalm 139 and then I'll finish. First six verses is what I'll cover. And my time is about now. Psalm 139:1. We have to know who God is, what he's capable of, what he can do for us, and what he's already aware of. Sometimes people kind of sneak in the corner and say, well, I just try to keep the secret because I don't want anybody to know because it's kind of embarrassing. Well, God wouldn't understand. They take what they know about their own, maybe their own father at home, who wasn't there, perhaps, and put that on God, God the Father. And they match him up and say, well, yeah, this, of course God the Father's going to be like this because my dad was, And that's what happens quite often. But what happens here? Oh, Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. God searches and he knows. Thou knowest my down-sitting, mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. God, you know what I'm thinking. And those aren't been good thoughts. Hey, they've not been good thoughts at all. I don't want to think about those thoughts because they bring back too many painful things for me. I don't want that. But God, you know what they are. Thou compass my path, my lying down, and are acquainted with all my ways. You know where I've been. You know where I'm going. You know the missions I've been on. You know what I've seen, what I've experienced. There's not a word in my mouth, but, oh, Lord, thou knowest it all together. God is fully aware of everything we go through. Can we say an amen or oh me? Is that dangerous or is that comforting? Depends on where you've been at. Depends on where you just be out open with God about it. Confess it. Get it out of the blood. A lot of guys aren't there. They don't know what to do with it. Not more blood. That's another difficulty. I've read about an individual who had trouble taking communion because how the whole situation was described to him. He shed his blood for... No, I don't get into shedding of blood. I've seen too much of that already. It's an amazing thing. Some guys won't take communion because they're misunderstanding the concept. And they know they have too much of a false impression to begin with. Things have to be redone for them. They have to rethink this. Thou hast beset me, verse 5, beset me behind and before, and lay thy hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain unto it. Lord, you are so much greater than any of us. I have these problems, but you're greater. God can handle any of it. Sometimes we'll go in and say, oh, if I mention that, he'd get embarrassed. God's not going to get embarrassed. God's not going to, oh, dear, I don't know what to do about that one. Some people think that's what he's going to be. God can handle it. Can handle anything. And once we get an understanding that God can handle anything, sharing just these verses with the guys. He's like that. He already knows about me. He knows what I'm thinking. You know what I said. And he still loves me and cares? Wow, that's better than Dad back home. He threw me out of the house. He will never leave thee nor forsake thee. We have an amazing God. We have an incredible God. We have a God that cares, that is going to be right there for you, with you every step of the way. And that's what these guys with PTSD need. And that's what we're going to go tell them. In my situation right now, as I am currently working on printing material, I have one example here. This is kind of in a rough draft form. It's currently being printed And it's being sent here within the week. I should have a copy of it. First track coming off the press that I've written, Resolving Guilt. I have another one that deals with fear coming up. And it goes through, well, three small pages about how you can deal with resolving guilt problems, how God forgives. And in the back, gospel message, how to get saved. That would be number one. Now, these cost approximately, where I'm getting published at, is $120 per thousand. So if there's an area that you'd like to help in, here's something I'll give you right there. That's something that we're doing right now. My we just got a Facebook message, I believe it was, from our AFBM director. We sat down about a month ago, and we talked about the PTSD issues, and he said, write something on a particular topic. I'm going to write something on another particular topic. He wanted to build a Bible study material, get guys involved in doing Bible study. And when he sat down and started doing it, the man's a retired sergeant major, so he knows a little bit about these things. He sat down, he told me a couple days later, he said, I couldn't stop. I was going to write out a small little pamphlet thing, and I just kept typing and typing and kept going. I was up all night. I had about 2 hours sleep the last 24, 48 hours. He just kept going and going. He's crying over the keyboard. He's telling me all this stuff. He says, brother, I got a book going here. I'm at 200 pages and it's still just flowing. This stuff is incredible. And I said, well, you probably pick up quite a bit of material from your own experiences, but it's out there, and these guys need our help. As we go out there and visit with them and share this burden with other churches as we've been doing, pray for us. Pray that we're going to be able to get out there, express what we need to express, touch the hearts of these guys where they need it, get these materials printed, handed to them, get the Word of God to them. They can find that relief they need. They've done an awful lot for us. Amen. In giving freedom, serving the country. Let's give back.